Amen. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Glennie and Joe, for leading us in worship. Kids, come on up. And yes, grandkids, young people, come on up here. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. You don't have to debate. You're young enough. All right. How are you today?
I'm good.
Oh, good. How are you today?
Good.
Good. Who says good? How are you today?
Good.
Oh, good. Well, that's, everybody's good. Nobody's bad. All right, so here's the question for today. Well, first of all, how many of you have neighbors? Everybody's got neighbors. Okay. If you could give one good thing, make it a good thing. If you could give one good thing as a gift to all your neighbors, what would you give them?
A Bible.
A Bible. Great.
Telling them what Jesus is.
Good. The gospel. Tell them about Jesus. Great.
Love.
Love. Do you hear that? Hear that, Mom and Dad back there? Good answer. All right. Let's hear from this. Pass that microphone and give an answer. What would you give to your neighbor?
I would give a cake.
You want to be his neighbor, right? I hope they all live in the same block.
My daddy and mommy.
Your daddy and mommy?
No other answers? Okay, no other answers. Everybody's shy today. Oh, you have an answer. Good.
God.
God. That's a good answer, too. You know, those are great answers. And it's hard to have just... Oh, you have an answer, Beth?
Kindness.
Kindness. Very good. You know, today we're going to study Psalm 23. And David's going to talk about his relationship with the Lord. And as I studied, I thought, this is what I wish I could give every single one of my neighbors, is this beautiful relationship that David has with the Lord. So I want you to listen today and think about if you would want to give this to your neighbors. Yes?
Name.
Name? Name? Head on back. Open your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, a favorite, arguably the most popular, the most beloved psalm in the entire Psalter. Some of you I know could recite it by heart. Some of you could recite it from the King James Version, right? Leadeth me beside the still waters. It is a great psalm, often preached at funerals, rarely at weddings. I might consider preaching this one at Jake's wedding in May. It is a great psalm. I entitled it Beautiful. In a word, beautiful. Or what I would want to give to all my neighbors. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It just makes you want to sing it, right? Beautiful. That's what this psalm is, which was a song that David wrote to be sung in all Israel. David had a beautiful personal relationship with the Lord. And by personal, I do not mean private. Some people say, well, that's personal. But the relationship that David had with the Lord, while it was personal, the Lord is my shepherd, it was not private. It was very public. And David was making known publicly the relationship that he had with God. A personal relationship. Not only is the song beautiful, so is life. Beautiful. when the Lord is your shepherd. And that's really the main truth of this psalm. This is what the Spirit of God wants you to see this morning. That if the Lord is your shepherd, life is beautiful. It's wonderful. And look why. If the Lord is your shepherd, He takes care of you personally. If the Lord is your shepherd, He takes care of you personally. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is a caretaker, a keeper of the sheep, a keeper of the flock, one who has the responsibility, the duty to guard, to guide, to feed, to provide, to lead the sheep, his sheep. And David says, the Lord, as in the sovereign God of all the universe, the creator and sustainer of all things, He is my shepherd. Who could better take care of you in every way than the God who made you and gave you life? There is no better caretaker than the Lord Himself. And if He's your shepherd, then He takes care of you personally. He Himself feeds you and leads you and guides you and provides for you. And so with complete confidence, if the Lord is your shepherd, you can say with David, I shall not want. It does not mean that you will never want anything. It means you will never lack anything that you need for life. You will never lack. That's another translation. I shall not lack. I shall never be short of what I need to live this life. Can you say that with all confidence? Can you say, well, looking back over my life, since I have known the Lord as my shepherd, I have never lacked. I have never wanted. I've never been without what I need for life. You can say that because, look, you're here. If you lacked what you needed for life to this point, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be living. This is a beautiful thing. If the Lord is your shepherd, He takes care of you personally. Second, He takes care of you physically. Notice what David says. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. In other words, He knows I need rest. He makes sure I get it. He makes me lie down. He knows I need food. He ensures that I get that and the good stuff because He makes me to lie down in green pastures where the food is abundant. By the way, this does not mean David was a vegetarian. There are plenty of bugs and worms in green pastures, plenty of meat. But if the Lord is your shepherd, He takes care of you physically. He makes sure that you get the rest that you need. He makes sure that you're fed. He makes sure that you get water. He leads me beside the still waters. He knows I need water, as sheep do. And the Lord leads me beside the waters, plural, because there's an abundance. He makes sure that I'm not dying of thirst day in and day out. And notice, He leads me beside the still waters. Not stagnant, peaceful, calm, relaxing. The Lord knows that I need peace. He makes sure that I have peace. This is what David's life was. Beautiful. It's what your life is if the Lord is your shepherd. He takes care of you personally. He takes care of you physically. And He takes care of you spiritually. Verse 3. He restores my soul. Meaning what? Meaning when my soul is weak, He strengthens me. He renews my strength as the eagles. When my soul is down or discouraged, He lifts it back up. Have you ever had that? Well, you've been down or discouraged, but the Lord Himself brought your soul back up and you are rejoicing again. When my soul is hungry, He feeds it. And when my soul is thirsty, He waters my soul. When my soul is hurting, He heals it. And when my soul is distant, He draws me near. What about when your soul wanders? When your soul wanders, you ever sing that song, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the one I love? If my soul wanders, he, like the good shepherd, goes, leaves the 99, and he works to bring me back. He restores my soul. And then he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads me forward in right paths. He leads me in the ways that are right. He leads me in the path of fearing him instead of fearing men. He leads me in the path of obeying him and following him instead of obeying men. He leads me in the path of justice, equity, discretion, diligence, every good path. He leads me in the path of loving him and loving my neighbor. Just like the kids were saying, right? They were expressing how they would show their love to their neighbor. The Lord leads me in the path of loving my neighbor and even loving my enemy. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And it's one thing that he would do that for my sake, and he does. But if he did it just for my sake, I might fear that he wouldn't do it all the way. But notice, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for whose name's sake? His. That means his reputation is at stake in how he shepherds me. Think about it this way. If a father neglects his own sons, what kind of father is he? Bad. If a mother neglects her own daughters, what will be said about her? She's a bad mother. If the shepherd neglects his own flock, what kind of shepherd is he? And some of you say, bad. Well, that's what the sheep says. But the Lord is never bad. He's good. He's the good shepherd. I led you right into that one, didn't I? Just making sure that you're alert. The Lord is the good shepherd, and he leads me in paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. His reputation is on the line. And that's why David could say, I know I will never lack. The Lord is not going to let me want for any good thing I need to follow him. This is beautiful. If the Lord is your shepherd, he takes care of you personally. He takes care of you physically. He takes care of you spiritually. He takes care of you emotionally. Verse 4. He takes care of you emotionally. Notice, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This is so beautiful, let's take it a bit at a time. Yea. That is there for emphasis. It's like saying, in fact, think about this. Look at this. Yea, though, it's not if I walk through. David was walking through, and so are you. He says, yea, though, even though, as the case is, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even though I walk. No, he's not running. Walk, as Spurgeon says, indicates the steady advance of the soul. Yea, though I walk, step by step, one day at a time, through. Kind of like a tunnel implies that there's an end to this. I don't walk forever in, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Now, if you're walking in the shadow of someone else, how far from them are you? Not very far. And so if you walk in the shadow of death, how far from death are you? Not far. So where in this life do you walk where death is not far? Everywhere. Everywhere. David was walking. You and I are walking in the valley of the shadow of death. How do we know that? Do not boast thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Proverbs 27:1. What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. James 4:14. Death is always near. You don't know the day that you'll die. David understood that. And he said, yea, even though I am walking day by day through this valley of the shadow of death, where death is near and the dangers are many. Are there dangers in the valley of the shadow of death? Oh, yes. There's plenty that you might legitimately fear. Like what, for example? What kind of dangers are there as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death? How about dangerous people? Are there dangerous people out there these days? Anybody reading The Chieftain? I mean, there are dangerous people. And especially if you're going to follow the Lord. If you're going to follow the Lord and live for Him and speak for Him and stand for Him. Let me tell you, as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there are scary people who are going to come out full force and all fangs and all claws against you just because you follow the Lord. And so you might fear that. What else could you fear? Are there dangerous things to fear? Like illness, disability, natural disasters, loss of job, loss of spouse, loss of income, loss of mobility. Anybody ever fear these things? You get old, you get a bad haircut. Anything could happen. Just throwing that in. Dangerous powers. The devil and demons. There are all kinds of dangers. Listen to what Paul says. 2 Corinthians 11:26. He says, I've been on frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, in dangers from robbers, in dangers from my own countrymen, in dangers from the Gentiles. That's pretty much everybody, right? If you're Paul and you're a Jew, you got your countrymen and the Gentiles. So in other words, I'm in danger from everybody. In dangers in the city and in dangers in the country. Well, that's pretty much everywhere. There's the city and then there's the wilderness. Where people live and where they don't live. Paul says, I've been on frequent journeys, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers on dry land, dangers among false brethren. Paul is saying, look, I've been on frequent journeys, and everywhere I go, from everyone I meet, there are dangers. And so it's not as though there are no dangers, but notice what David says. Yea, even though I walk through this valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What? How can you say that? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David isn't even fearing death. The thing to fear in the valley of the shadow of death is death. David's not afraid of that. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And he knew it. This is the beautiful life if the Lord is your shepherd. You really have nothing to fear. David says, for you are with me. You know, he's already said that the Lord is out front leading him. Now it's as though the Lord is right there beside him, with him, walking with him in this valley of the shadow of death, through it, till he comes out the other side. By the way, if you're walking in the shadow of death, what does that tell you? What is on the other side of death? Light. There is no shadow without light. If you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that tells you that on the other side of death is light. So David had nothing to fear. You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod and the staff, what are these things? These were the shepherd's multi-purpose tools. Essentially a short stick and a big stick. A little stick and a big stick. The rod was the smaller of the two, the small stick. And it was a multi-purpose tool. It was used to count the sheep. You've probably heard of that, passing under the rod. Leviticus talks about that. To make sure that none of the sheep were missing. It was used as kind of a prod to keep the sheep moving. You know, sheep tend to become lazy. Sheep tend to become complacent. And the Lord uses his rod to kind of prod the sheep along, to keep going, keep moving forward on the path. The rod also was used to correct. It's called the rod of correction, the rod of discipline. As you probably know, parents also use a rod, right? It's the exact same term, the rod of correction. Those who love their children discipline them promptly. Those who hate their children, they don't use the rod. That's what the Bible says. Parents, really it says fathers who hate their children do not use the rod of correction. Proverbs 13:24. But he who loves them disciplines them promptly. So it is with the good shepherd. The shepherd disciplines us. He corrects us with his rod of correction. Why does he do that? Proverbs 29:15. Because the rod gives wisdom. Just like the rod for the back of the child who lacks understanding gives wisdom, establishes boundaries, helps the child know what's acceptable, what's unacceptable, so the rod of the good shepherd helps us to know what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what is pleasing and what is not to him. David says, your rod and your staff. The staff was the bigger stick. The staff also was a multi-purpose tool. The shepherd would lean on that. The shepherd would use that to point out a direction to fellow shepherds. We're going that way. And the fellow shepherds would know the direction to go because the chief shepherd is guiding with his staff, pointing out the way. That larger stick was also used to chasten the sheep. What if the sheep is not responding to the rod of correction? Well, then you pull out the big stick. And the big stick, maybe you use the hook on one end, or maybe you do a little beating. And that too was used to chasten, but it was also used to beat off bears, wolves, anything that would endanger the sheep. And notice what David says, these are a comfort to me. Just as children are comforted by a loving father and a loving mother, loving parents who will apply discipline and correction and chastening, so sheep are comforted by the fact that their shepherd loves them enough to correct them, to chasten them, and to defend them and protect them. So what are these multi-purpose tools of the Lord, the rod and the staff? What are the multi-purpose tools that our Lord uses to chasten and correct and to guide and to lead us? His Word, His Holy Spirit. One commentator says, the power of the gospel of Christ is sufficient to perform all of these tasks in the Spirit-filled believer. The gospel and the Spirit of God. And God uses under-shepherds and God uses brethren to do these things as well. David says, your multi-purpose instruments that you use in my life, your rod and your staff, these comfort me. See how beautiful this is? How blessed is the man. How blessed is the woman whose shepherd is the Lord. How blessed is the nation whose shepherd is the Lord. And how blessed is your life. Because if the Lord is your shepherd, he's taking care of you personally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, abundantly. Verse 5, abundantly. Notice verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The imagery here shifts because David has already identified that the Lord is his shepherd and he, a person who himself had been a shepherd, right, in his father's fields and who himself was a shepherd of God's people as king, he now shifts to the imagery of Eastern hospitality. In that area of the world, the gracious and generous host would greet a worn out and weary traveler upon arrival at his house by preparing a table, a feast, before him, and by anointing his head with oil and pouring wine into a cup to overflowing. You know, in those days, I thought of it this way. You show up, you know, here in our culture, you show up at my house, you've gone on a long journey, and I say, hey, maybe you want to freshen up. And you go into the powder room, and there's lotion, and there's deodorant and perfume in there, and maybe some hair gel. Well, this anointing oil was all of that mixed into one. It was olive oil, which was a soothing lotion for the skin, and like a hair gel. And you would, and if we were in that culture, I'd say, hey, let me freshen you up. And I'd put some anointing oil on your head. I like that. It reminds me of some of the hospitality that we were shown in Russia. In fact, on my first trip over there, we arrived at these people's house at 3 a.m. And I tell you, the table was set, the spread was unbelievable, and for 2 hours we sat there eating this huge meal, though I was falling asleep in it. But it was beautiful hospitality. That's the picture here. And do you see what David is doing? Do you see what he's just done? He has gone from walking through the valley of the shadow of death to now, at the end of that valley, entering into the house of the Lord and being greeted by the Lord himself. The Lord himself is the gracious and generous host. The Lord himself anoints his head with oil. The Lord himself sets the table where? Right in the presence of his enemies. Who are they? Those are the ones who all along the walk through the valley of the shadow of death are saying, there's no hope for you in God. There's no help for you in God. You're wasting your time living for him. You're wasting your time loving him. You're wasting your time proclaiming him. These are the people that you proclaim to along the way and say, hey, come follow us. We're following the Lord into the kingdom. Repent and believe in the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. We are headed to meet the Lord. Your enemies are all those who said, ah, that's a waste. You're foolish. David pictures himself entering into the house at the end of the journey, and the Lord is setting the table for him while the enemies look on. Listen, if the Lord is your shepherd, he takes care of you personally. He takes care of you physically. He takes care of you spiritually. He takes care of you emotionally. He takes care of you abundantly. My cup runneth over. Why? Because when the host would pour wine into your cup to overflowing, it was a way of saying, as long as you're in my house, this is how you'll be taken care of. With abundance. It just, you know, it made me want to be great hosts to the Eichholzes this week. I want to go out and get stuff for their room downstairs. And when they come, I'm just going to take my hair gel and my perfume and deodorant and just going to put it on their heads. Maybe I won't go that far, but this is a beautiful picture of hospitality. And David is picturing the end of the road. The Lord himself essentially is saying, welcome to my house. You'll enjoy abundance here. For how long? That would be the question. For how long would you enjoy this abundance? Verse 6. If the Lord is your shepherd, he takes care of you eternally. Eternally. His care never ends because his own name is at stake. This is the gospel. Look at Psalm 23, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy. I know we all thought that was the names of three women when we were young. Surely goodness and mercy would follow us. But it's not the names of three women. It's an affirmation of confidence. Surely, indeed, there's no doubt about this. Goodness and mercy. These are the twin attributes of God in other Psalms of David. David uses these exact same words to describe the Lord himself. And that's what he's picturing. The Lord not only leads ahead of him, the Lord not only walks beside him, the Lord's got his back. The Lord comes behind him. Surely, these attributes of God, as the Lord follows me, goodness and mercy. Goodness, of course, is all of God's demonstrations of kindness. And mercy really is his faithful love, the assurance you have that he's going to take you all the way to glory. Goodness, all the good things God does for me, and loving kindness, his promise that he will forever show me goodness. These will follow behind me all the days of my life. Notice, if the Lord is your shepherd, he takes care of you daily, all the days. Never are you lacking without his care, even if it feels or seems that you are. But he takes care of you eternally. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and then I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The house of the Lord is where the Lord himself lives with all his own, with all his children, with all of his sheep, with his flock. Heaven. The kingdom, glory. And if the Lord is your shepherd, that is where you are headed. Isn't that beautiful? But wait! Wait, I say. How is this possible? I thought that the Lord was holy. I thought that the Lord hates sin. And I thought that David was a sinner. In fact, I heard that David committed adultery and murder. How dare he say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? What about his sin? You ever think about that? Because you might think, well, must be nice for David. Apparently, he's pure. How is this possible? Well, let's ask this question. Who is this Lord? Who is this good shepherd? If you say, well, the good shepherd is the Lord, from verse 1, you would be quite right. And you know what? Every Jew, especially the scribes and the Pharisees, every Jew knew the good shepherd is the Lord, Yahweh. That's who the good shepherd is. Knowing that full well, knowing that every Jew and every Pharisee and every scribe and every religious leader knows full well that the good shepherd is the Lord Yahweh, Jesus one day came into their midst and said to the scribes and the Pharisees, I, what? Am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. The end of which they sought to kill him for blasphemy. Jesus came into the midst of the crowd and he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What does that mean? He says, I lay down my life for the sheep. For whom did Christ lay down his life? For his sheep. Christ sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the penalty of the sins of all of his sheep. You say, well, what did David know about that? Psalm 22. Where does Psalm 23 come? It doesn't come till after the cross. Psalm 22 is David prophesying of the death of the good shepherd and his resurrection from the dead, after which he writes, and after which we have, the Lord is my shepherd. What about his sin? It's taken out of the way forever. And so I say to you, you know what? If the Lord is your shepherd, he takes care of you personally. He takes care of you physically. He takes care of you emotionally. He takes care of you spiritually. He takes care of you abundantly. He takes care of you eternally. And he has taken care of all of your sins completely. You believe that? All of your sins forever taken out of the way. Oh, this is what I want for my neighbors. It's what I want for every one of you. It's what I want for myself. And you know what? By the grace of God, I have it. And I hope you do. Can you say the Lord is my shepherd? For 26 years of my life, I couldn't say that. Though many times I said, oh yeah, I believe in God. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, sure, I'm a Christian. And I was deceived. You know, you can think the Lord's your shepherd when he isn't. And for 26 years, I went about deceived, thinking that I knew the Lord. Until by the grace of God, he opened my eyes to see my own wickedness, my own sinfulness. And opened my eyes to see that I needed Christ. Sheep are needy. I didn't see myself as needy until the Lord opened my eyes to see that I'm lost, like a lost sheep. And I'm headed for death and disaster and destruction. And by the grace of God, I turned from my sins and began following him. And now I can say with David, I wonder, can you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want or shall not lack. Listen, beloved, if the Lord is your shepherd, what do you do with this psalm? Rejoice and rest in him. Rest in the Lord. Notice David's I will statements. I will not lack. That means no more anxiety. I will fear no evil. That means no more fear except of God. And I will dwell. That means no more doubts. No more doubts. Do you have faith in Christ like that? Can you say, I will not lack. I will not fear man or evil. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I hope that he's your shepherd. But if he's not, if the Lord is not your shepherd, listen to what he says to you today. Come to me. That's an invitation. Come to me, says Jesus Christ, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. I have it on the authority of Scripture that I can say to you this morning, if you are here today and you do not have Jesus Christ as your shepherd, if today you will turn from your sin and trust in Him, if today you will call upon the Lord for salvation, I guarantee you that from here on out, the Lord will care for you personally. He will care for you physically. He will care for you spiritually. He will care for you emotionally. He will care for you abundantly. He will care for you eternally. And all of your sins forever will be wiped away. May there not be any soul who leaves this place today without Christ as the Good Shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this psalm. We thank you for your love for us. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for sending your Son to die for sinners such as us, and for raising him up again from the dead, that we might be justified in your sight and that we might be your sheep. Father, I thank you so much for your encouragement, your guidance, your provision, your love. And I pray, may everyone who names the name of the Lord in this place leave today rejoicing and resting in you. In Jesus' name, amen.